This is the news for November, originally part of the November issue of the Jodcast. For the complete issue of the Jodcast, please go to www.jodcast.net.
In news this month, Gobi scientists awarded the Nobel Prize, the stereo mission to image the sun in 3D takes off, the Hubble Space Telescope discovers ultra-short period planets, and evidence for ice sheets on the moon called into question. This year's Nobel Prize in Physics was awarded to John Mather and George Smoot earlier this month for their work with data from the Cosmic Microwave Background Explorer satellite, or COBE. The spacecraft, which launched in 1989, was designed to measure the afterglow from the Big Bang explosion which created our universe. This leftover energy, known as the Cosmic Microwave Background, was first predicted in the 1940s and detected for the first time, by accident, in the 1960s, by Penzias and Wilson at the Bell Telephone Labs in America. COBE mapped this leftover radiation across the whole sky, helping cosmologists to test their theories of how the universe evolved. John Mather was awarded his share of the prize for work which proved the radiation had a black body spectrum, the shape you would expect from an object at a particular temperature. The COBE results showed that the early universe behaved like a black body, with a temperature of many thousands of degrees. George Smoot received the award for the work which he led in detecting the slight fluctuations in this background radiation, which are thought to be evidence of structure in the very early universe, which ultimately led to the formation of the structure which we see today. The results have since been confirmed by other experiments. The WMAP satellite, currently mapping this radiation in more detail than COBE could achieve, and the European Space Agency's Planck spacecraft, which will be even more sensitive and is due to fly in 2008. On the 25th of October, NASA's Solar Terrestrial Relations Observatories mission, or STEREO, launched aboard a Delta II rocket from Florida in the United States. The STEREO mission consists of two identical spacecraft which will be placed in slightly different orbits to provide two different views of the Sun. These views will be combined in a similar way to how the brain uses information from two eyes to create a three-dimensional view of the world. The instruments on the two craft will allow 3D views of the Sun and the stellar wind, which constantly streams from the surface. Studies of this wind are important as they interact with the inner planets of our solar system and affect us here on Earth. Storms on the Sun send out strong winds full of charged particles, which interact with our atmosphere, affecting communications, power grids, aeroplanes, astronauts, and even damaging satellites. STEREO will help spot and track these streams of particles so that scientists can provide better solar weather warnings in the future. Over 200 planets are now known to exist outside of our solar system, many of them large planets with short orbits around their host stars. Most extrasolar planets found so far have been detected by looking for the wobble of their host star caused by the gravity of the planet as it moves in its orbit. Recent observations with the Hubble Space Telescope, published this month, looked at 180,000 stars towards the galactic centre, with the aim of detecting the slight dip in brightness of a star as a planet passes in front of it. This is known as the transit technique, and requires very good calibration of the brightnesses of stars in the image, in order to spot the tiny drop in brightness caused by a planet blocking some of the star's light. This survey, led by Dr. Sahu of the Space Telescope Science Institute, found another 16 planet candidates which orbit their host stars in periods of between 0.4 and 4.2 days. In comparison, Mercury, the closest planet to the Sun in our solar system, takes 88 days to complete one orbit. Five of these candidate planets orbit their stars in less than one day and form a new class of extrasolar planet known as the ultra-short Jupiters. Evidence for the existence of water ice at Shackleton Crater near the Moon's south pole has been called into question by a team led by Donald Campbell of Cornell University. The scientists used high-resolution radar imaging using the Arecibo Telescope in Puerto Rico and the Green Bank Telescope in West Virginia to map the area and found that the echoes from this region matched those seen from other young craters in other parts of the Moon's surface in places where sunlight would cause any ice crystals to melt. Results from previous observations, including data from the Clementine spacecraft, suggested that ice deposits were present in the walls of this crater. Although the lack of evidence is disappointing for plans to build a base on the Moon using ice deposits to create fuel, Campbell points out that this does not mean that there is no water on the Moon. Comet or meteorite impacts over the lifetime of the Moon could have brought some water to the surface, which is probably now distributed as ice grains mixed in with the lunar soil rather than in large deposits as was predicted at the Shackleton crater. During October, both the Folkes telescopes, two 2-metre class optical telescopes situated in Hawaii and Australia, suffered natural disasters. The telescopes are used by schools worldwide, allowing children to make their own images of astronomical objects and contribute to scientific research. The telescope in Hawaii was damaged by the earthquake which occurred off the coast of Big Island on October 15th and will hopefully be back in service very soon. The telescope in Australia was hit by a direct lightning strike the following day and has been seriously damaged. Engineers are working on both telescopes and they hope to have both back in service in the new year. Also in October, Mount Stromlo Observatory in Canberra, Australia, was reopened following major rebuilding efforts after a bushfire destroyed the site in 2003. Buildings and telescopes were damaged and in some cases destroyed in the fire which swept through Australia's capital city in January 3 years ago. The reopened facility includes large laboratories and workshops where new equipment can be designed and constructed. And finally, NASA have approved a fifth servicing mission to the Hubble Space Telescope. The decision was announced on the 31st of October by Michael Griffin, the current NASA administrator. The American Space Agency, who operate the telescope together with the European Space Agency, ESA, had previously cancelled planned missions to the orbiting observatory following the loss of the Shuttle Columbia in 2003. Three shuttle missions have flown successfully since then, and the decision has now been taken to return to the telescope one last time. As well as problems caused by failing guidance systems, some of Hubble's scientific instruments need replacing. This mission, the latest in Hubble's 16 years of operations, will replace failed instruments and upgrade one of the fine guidance sensors which keep the telescope pointing in the correct direction. The flight is scheduled to launch in 2008 and will hopefully extend the mission to 2013.